You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot with Brett Lubkowski. Brett, the World Cup draw just happened. Canada made history, and we have a definite group of death. As an England fan, I couldn't be happier right now, and neither could my family back in the UK. It took a while to get there, but once we got to the draw, it was one of the most exciting things that we got a chance to see.
Yeah, absolutely. It was real exciting. But yeah, the pageantry and just all of the extracurriculars seemed to take all day. I saw some couple tweets there. It was 36 years since Canada's been on the World Cup, and it felt like 36 years before they actually, you know, made the draw.
It did. Yeah. I've made the joke with Moe's when we were on, because we were both, you know, older. And I'm like, so I'm turning 30. I'm 36 right now, turning 37 in a few days here. And I'm like, I aged this entire time, the all 36 years since we've had the last World Cup. But we're here. Before we kind of get into, like, you know, breaking down the group stages and kind of your thoughts and everything, just the initial kind of thoughts of going through the draw and what you wanted for Canada and all that.
Well, looking at Canada, you know, we really wanted to avoid the group of death. Like you mentioned, we did do that. Definitely feel bad for whoever ends up winning that playoff between Costa Rica and New Zealand. You know, they get to go to the World Cup, but they got to play Spain, Germany, and a Japan team who may not be the strongest on paper, but I mean, they're at every World Cup. They have the experience. Obviously, I think Group A would have been where most fans would have wanted to see Canada, with the host Qatar being in there. You're kind of avoiding one of the seven best teams in the world. But, you know, I think that getting Belgium in their group was by far not the worst thing that could have happened for them. You know, they wanted to avoid maybe a Brazil or Argentina. And they managed to do that. And I didn't get my Canada England game like I wanted, but
I did not want it. I wanted to avoid that like the plague.
But yeah, we just really wanted to avoid the group of death. And I think I think we're sitting in a spot where we can definitely compete in every game that we play in the group stage. So I'm really excited.
Did it not feel like destiny that England was either going to face the Americans or the Canadians? It felt like one of those two teams they were destined to face.
Yeah, it really did. I was really hoping for Canada, but once I saw the USA pop up, I also got really excited. I mean, they haven't played each other in the World Cup since 2010. And it was a 1-1 draw there. I'm sure I don't need to remind you.
Under the gloves.
Yep. I can't remember the name of the keeper at the time, but
I've tried to forget.
But yeah, that was a really sad goal. And I mean, I'm sure England is happy they got Jordan Pickford now, and they're hoping that will not happen again.
I was on watching the TSN feed, but then I had a live FaceTime call with my family in England. And when they were about 5 seconds behind, and when the Americans got drawn, cheered louder than even England just getting by themselves in a draw. Everyone, and I think it's a fact too, that we just didn't want Germany. We were like, please don't be Germany. Please don't be Germany.
Germany was that one pot two team that I just think everyone wanted to avoid right now.
Yeah. We'll go by the group. But yeah, as an England fan, I'm really happy for Canada. I think it's not the worst draw in the world. You know, you and I kind of talked in the chat. I mean, you know, Croatia's lost a lot of their players. I know they were, like, you know, the last World Cup, I definitely know, they were a great team in that last World Cup. They cost us a chance to advance. And I, in all honesty, I think if Canada would have got past Croatia, I don't think we would have been Mbappe in France. They just seem like
the best team at that point. It was destiny for them in that one. Yeah. I mean, the one thing about Canada is that they are adjacent to the group of death. So if by all, if by somehow they manage to get out of the group, they're going to be playing a Spain or a Germany in the round of 16. Yeah. And I mean, if they can get past Belgium or Croatia, I mean, they'll be feeling confident, but they're going to have a very tough road throughout the whole World Cup, however far they end up going.
Yeah, they really are. Anything else kind of before we go stage by stage? I mean, the easiest group is Group A. Like it has, I mean, if you're the Netherlands right now, you're like, wow, how did we get so lucky?
Oh yeah, you got to be laughing if you're the Dutch. I mean,
yeah,
there's always that thing whenever the host country is not a very strong team that everyone's got to be licking their chops hoping they get into Group A. Yeah. And I'm honestly looking at Senegal in that group right now because mm-hmm. they're going to have the best player in the group in Sadio Mane. They have been so strong right now. And like that big win they had over Egypt in the African qualifiers and penalties, I feel really good about that team right now. And I have a feeling that they could make some noise in the World Cup.
Yeah. I like Senegal a lot. Like you said, having Zanu there, I think they got a great chance. So let's kind of break it down by the groups and we can kind of talk about a few things. You know, I was upset that Egypt lost too, you know, being a Liverpool fan. So, you know, having the one good player that Egypt has, but, you know, we saw him in the World Cup a few years ago, but he was literally just doing everything for Egypt.
Yeah. And it was, I'm also a Liverpool fan. So it was one of those things that watching, you know, Mo Salah and take on Sadio Mane over two games was so difficult to watch. Yeah. I didn't want to see either one of them miss the World Cup. So,
yeah.
But you know, Mo Salah got to go last time. So I'm happy for Senegal here.
Yeah. I think my funniest moment as a Liverpool fan, Brett, was when Jordan Henderson checked in for the brief moment and I was at the ship and I'm like, yeah. And everyone's like, why are you so excited Jordan Henderson's in? I'm like, ah, it's a Liverpool thing.
I know. I am such a big Jordan Henderson fan. He got too much hate for too many years. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the one, you know, just because we're doing this pod locally here in the Calgary area, what the ship and anchor would have been like for Canada and England would have been, I don't know. Like I don't know what they would have done for any of the pubs out here for Canada and England. Cause that's probably the English probably have the highest pub relation to the World Cup out here.
Oh yeah.
And we're already in a different situation where the pubs are going to be in November compared to a summer World Cup as well. The only other one I see that's bigger for the pubs is probably the Italians who didn't make it this year.
Yeah. I work at a brewery out in Airdrie. So, like most of our like regular clientele are all British. So I know that once the World Cup comes around, there's going to be a big demand to show games at the pub. And so I'm really looking forward to it. And I mean, me personally, not much of an England fan. I kind of always feel a little bit happy when they lose, but
of course.
Yeah. I think you're probably used to that. Everyone either seems to love or hate them.
Yeah. Don't worry. We handle, we're great at losing, especially in the best moments possible. We're great at losing. It does seem like the Airdrie where you are in Cockermore, that's some of the higher English population that we have out here. We even have a Tesco's out here at the Save On Foods, but enough of that. Let's get into the draw. So draw one is the host country, Qatar, Ecuador, Senegal, and Netherlands. I think we kind of talked about this already a little bit, but I think the best feeling I have is Senegal and Netherlands are the ones that will come out of this.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Ecuador kind of blew everyone away in South America. No one really expected them to do as well as they did in qualifying. For them to finish third place in qualifying was pretty mind-blowing. The fact that they're in the World Cup and countries like Colombia and Chile aren't is wild. I mean, no one saw that coming. So, and then you've got a team in Qatar who, I mean, they're very untested. They are constantly looking better. They have been improving so much. They've invested so much into their football in the last few years just for this World Cup. And you know, they're going to get hometown calls a lot in this tournament. So depending on how the officiating goes, they could manage to sneak a win out of a couple games. They could sneak out of the group, but I still winning the group with the Netherlands probably right behind them.
It is, you know, there is a few like absent big names, right? You mentioned Colombia, Chile, Italy. There are some big names that aren't in here.
That's kind of why I noticed that in a lot of these groups that there aren't a lot of really exciting, like mouthwatering matchups in the group stage. There's not a lot of old rivalries or anything because I'm not seeing a lot of newer teams.
You're gonna have a better idea for some of these playoff winners. So if just let me know for some of them. So Group B, this is the England one. They have England, Iran, the Americans, and the playoff winner. Playoff winner is very interesting. Obviously, Ukraine, you know, I think if they make it, they will have a lot of people's hearts, without a doubt. For the Brits, they are kind of hoping for Scotland or Wales. So Wales, you'll bring in the star power, having Braith in there, obviously, right? They had that World Cup matchup. That was 2014 when they had Wales versus England, I believe, or was that a Euro Cup?
That was a Euro Cup, yeah.
It was a Euro Cup when the Wales and the Brits faced against each other. Scotland's been a team that's on the rise. And talking to some of my fam from England, they're like, yeah, Scotland could, you know, give it to the Brits maybe. That would be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, they played in the Euros last year, and they played as a 0-0 draw. Like, Scotland just completely shut them down, didn't give England anything up front to really work at. And, like, they're not a very high-power team, but their defense is strong. And, I mean, personally, I would love to see Wales. I want to see the Gareth Bale-Harry Kane battle. Like, I want to see that matchup so bad. But, yeah, I think for the most part, I think people with their hearts are going to be cheering for Ukraine. So, yeah, of course. I mean, that wouldn't be bad. And then, I mean, people who like geopolitical conflict, I mean, you got the USA and Iran playing each other. That's going to be something.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, the USA are a tale of two teams pretty much throughout all of qualifying. And over the last few years, you get this team who can look so strong and look so cohesive. And then they play, sometimes they play a team like Jamaica and you don't know what they're doing. And a lot of it comes down to Greg Berhalter, and I know a lot of American fans want him gone as their manager, and for good reason. I don't often understand his choices and who he plays, and he doesn't know how to get the best out of his team a lot. And they're a team who they could make a run, or they could completely phase out and lose all three games. So USA is a wild card.
They're a cocky bunch, and colored us all shocked that the Americans are cocky.
Yeah.
But let's not forget the Canadian game they had a while ago, and they're like, oh, we're going to kill Canada. And Canada comes and I believe shuts them out in that game. So, you know, they have their new shiny toy that I know a lot of Americans are at. And some of the Americans on the Twitter activity, I see them really puffing their chests out specifically for the England matchup. So I'm like, oh, this is an easy draw for us. I don't know that it is. I would say England, not even just as an England fan, I would assume England will get out of this pretty handily. But, you know, if it's a Scotland, even if it's Ukraine or Wales, like, I think they will be in competition with the Americans to take that second spot.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think England, 7 points minimum. Yeah. If it's Wales or Scotland, they might draw that game. But I think they should handle Iran and the Americans fairly handily.
Yeah.
The playoffs, I would expect they'll also get through with 5 or 7 points. I think that Wales is too good to not be in this World Cup right now. I mean, I could say the same thing about Italy right now, but there's too many good teams in Europe at the moment.
Yeah, there is. All right, so then we go to Group C, a very interesting one. We got Argentina, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, and Poland. I mean, Argentina, the big story here, could this be Messi's last World Cup?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be the last kick of the can for Messi, I think.
Yeah.
It just feels like Argentina just hasn't done enough for him over the past World Cups. And like they've put out some decent teams, but they've struggled on the defensive end a lot. They've really struggled to find any goaltending. That last World Cup in Russia was an absolute mess.
Yeah.
They were lucky to get out of the group stage. And then they ended up giving France, the eventual winners, a real battle there in the round of 16. But I mean, they still gave up 4 goals. And I think that, you know, Messi obviously can't do it alone, but it's a very wide open group. I would say that out of all the teams in pot two, Mexico was probably the team that I think everyone was kind of hoping they would get drawn against. Mexico at number 9 in FIFA rankings is an absolute joke. That team has been. How
the pots work? Like, is it by? It's by the rankings.
It's by FIFA rankings.
So why is Canada so low still?
Because a lot of the reason why they're so low is because it's taken over account of like a number of years.
Oh, okay.
So Canada has been, I think 5 years ago they were 110th in the world or something like that. In the hundreds. So they spent the last 5 years building themselves up. And I think even as much as a year and a half ago, they were 70th in the world. So they have been on this amazing uphill climb. working their way up the rankings, but Mexico has just been coasting off of playing easy competition for years and years. Same with the US, and that's why they're constantly in that 10 to 20 range.
Yeah, I've not been impressed by the, I mean, the Americans, like you said, they can surprise us. They have Plastic and they have, they're up and down with the way they go, right? The Mexicans, watching them, I've just never been impressed watching a lot of the American CONCACAF Cup that we've watched. I just, any game I've watched of them, I've just not been super impressed.
No, Mexico has looked super just disjointed. They seem to have no real chemistry out there. I don't know what is going on inside of that clubhouse, but they just seem to be struggling so bad. Even the games they've won, they haven't looked impressive. They beat, I can't remember who it was. I think it might've been Panama or El Salvador. They ended up winning 2-1 over a 10-man side, and they scored two goals late when they looked just awful. And so I'm looking at a team who, someone like Poland and one of the best strikers in the world, Robert Lewandowski, is going to be just, his eyes are going to light up when he plays Mexico. I think Poland is a team that could really, they could make a chance to get out of that group. I really like their chances.
What about the Saudis?
Saudi Arabia, I think they are, outside of Ghana, I think they're the lowest ranked FIFA team in this tournament. They kind of really impressed everybody in the Asian qualifying, which a lot of that came down to the fact that Australia just played so badly. Australia was, they're lucky that they're going to even have a chance to play, to get into a playoff right now. Because I don't know what was going on with them, but Saudi, they managed to win their group in Asian qualifying over South Korea, which was pretty shocking. They don't have any big names. They don't really have anything that blows you away, but they just seem to be playing well as a unit right now. And I feel like playing a team like Argentina, they might get exposed a little bit, and then Poland too. But I mean, we'll see. They could probably scratch out some draws, but I don't know if they're going to be able to put up many goals against these teams.
So we're feeling Argentina and Poland right now for this one.
Yeah. Mexico, if they can, you know, figure themselves out here in the next 6 months, maybe play some top competition across the world, get ready for this tournament, they might be able to get out, but I can't see them getting past the round of 16 again.
We got Group D with France, Denmark, and Tunisia. You'll have to fill me in on the playoff team on this one.
So the IC playoff one is, I believe that's the South American or Asian team that comes out of there. So in the Asia side of it, there's the United Arab Emirates are playing Australia, and the winner of that plays the fifth place team from South America, which was Peru. So I feel like Peru should be the favorites to get to the World Cup. Fifth place in South America is a tough thing to do when there's eight good teams out of 10. There's only 10 teams in that group, and there's 10 and eight of them are really good. So I like Peru's chances to get out of that. If they do, it'll be Peru and France again in the group stage for the second time. Denmark is another one of those teams that they are just so sound across the board.
They're an interesting squad.
Like, you look at Denmark, you don't really see any names that really kind of blow you away. They're not a team with a ton of star power, but I mean, there's a reason why they're top 12 in the world, and it's just because they're just such a sound, well-organized team. They're so difficult to score against. Denmark could really make some noise, but I mean, all eyes are going to be on the defending champs.
Oh yeah. I mean, we obviously have France coming out here. I do like Denmark coming out, because I've liked a little bit of what I've seen from Denmark. Like you said, they're just kind of a solid squad. This is the kind of team that's like, who's on this team? I don't know. But all of a sudden they're at the final eight.
I'm really excited to see, I mean, in a couple of their friendlies lately, Christian Eriksen just came back to action after he suffered cardiac arrest at the Euros. Yes, he's been out for
terrible.
It was terrifying. Everyone was so worried. They had to stop the game. He came back, played a couple friendlies, scored two amazing goals. Like, he's going to be one of the feel good stories of the World Cup. And I really like Denmark's chance to maybe even win the group. I know everyone's eyes are going to be on France to win.
And they gave it to England in Euros. Like, this is a good team.
They did. And there is, like, the World Cup, like, there is that, I don't know, people kind of really struggle. Defending champions have a hard time. It's that, like, World Cup hangover where you win the World Cup, and then 4 years later, I don't know if you just come in with this expectation or if you just are feeling the pressure of wanting to repeat.
Well, there was a repeat. Lot of that today, Brett. There's a lot of France won. Hey, did you know France won? It's like, yeah, okay, I get it.
Yeah. And like, I've got a France jersey. I've got a soccer ball here. They were kind of the team I was rooting for four years ago. So it was cool to watch them win. And they have who is, in my opinion, the best player in the world and Kylian Mbappe right now.
Yeah.
He's one of the few players in the world who can match the speed of an Alphonso Davies, and he has all the skill, and they're going to be bringing back most of that team that won 4 years ago. But, you know, you do have to wonder if they're going to struggle being the defending champs. You will look at Germany 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. They had a horrible World Cup. They didn't get out of the group. I believe the same thing happened in 2018. It was the defending champions there didn't get out of the group.
Yeah.
And same with Brazil, 2010. Like,
yeah, Brazil had one really bad one too, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there's no guarantees, and there's usually a team that's going to really struggle. I think France does still get out of the group. I don't think anyone's looking at Tunisia as a team that's going to really give anyone too many issues in this group.
Probably not.
I watched their game against Mali in the African qualifiers, and I mean, they won 1-0 over two legs, and they didn't look impressive at all against a really weak Mali team. So I'm not looking at Tunisia as a threat to France or Denmark.
Just happy to be here.
Yeah, but the playoff team is going to be interesting, and whoever gets out of that could potentially cause some issues, especially if it's Peru.
Right, next up. So we kind of in agreement, we look leaning towards France and Denmark. Next up, we have the group of death. We have Spain, we have Germany, a really tough Japanese team. And who's our playoff team in here?
That is going to be the winner of the CONCACAF and the Oceanic playoffs. So that's going to be either New Zealand or Costa Rica, who finished fourth in the...
Right, yeah, we...
Yeah.
Costa Rica was a spirited team, getting a chance to see them against Canada. Obviously, Canada, the game they had against them, drew the red card from the controversial call, and we don't want to get into that. But and New Zealand, I don't know much about.
Yeah, New Zealand, I mean, they don't play any real competition. That's the biggest thing with New Zealand. They are like the big fish in the small pond, especially since I think Australia moved out of that region about 3 or 4 World Cup cycles ago. They used to compete out of Oceania, but they were even worse for having no competition. So I suspect Costa Rica will come out of that, but that playoff game might be one of the most unexciting nil-nil draws to go to a shootout that you might ever see.
You get to face Spain, Germany, and Japan. Congratulations.
Yeah, I was really hoping that Panama would have finished fourth in CONCACAF. They looked like a much more skilled team than Costa Rica. Costa Rica kind of sat back a lot and played a much more defensive style. But either way, yeah, I think whoever comes out of that is going to go 0-3. Spain and Germany, that's going to be a battle of two recent World Cup winners. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to see two teams that are really looking for some redemption after a couple of rough World Cups in 4 years ago. Spain didn't even get, they lost to Russia in the round of 16 last time out in a shootout. There are a couple of wild cards who could make a deep run in this tournament. There's not really a whole lot I can say about either team right now. Like, they're both pretty strong teams. They're both kind of transitioning from old, like an old era into a new one right now.
Yeah.
And then Japan is just kind of a team that, again,
they don't go away.
Yeah. You got Minamino from Liverpool there. He's kind of going to be their main player. They're a really well-oiled machine. They had a really good Asian qualifier. But again, I don't know if they can compete with those top teams like Spain and Germany. I suspect they will also get out of the group fairly handily, maybe 6 or 7 points each. But I'm kind of seeing 0 for the playoff team and 3 for Japan right now. And then the other two will kind of battle it out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming Spain and Germany get out of this, but, you know, Japan punches one of them in the mouth and gets a point off of them, it's not going to completely shock me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the group of death. Group F, this is the big one. Belgium, Morocco, Croatia, and Canada.
Oh, boy. This is such an interesting group. This is Belgium and Croatia were neither of the teams that I really was looking at when I was thinking about who Canada, who are the teams I don't want them to get drawn with and who are the teams I do want them to get drawn with. Yeah. They're just both kind of in the middle right now. Yeah. Belgium and Croatia are there again. I think for both countries, this is their last chance to win a World Cup. Mm-hmm. Croatia has their golden generation. This is kind of the end of it. This is going to be Luka Modric's last World Cup as well. No one's giving him any, no one's talking about Luka Modric right now. No. This is, he's 37. This is going to be his last chance. They don't have Mario Mandzukic anymore. They're a much older team. They're trying to transition into a newer generation, but I mean, they're a team that also just barely got into the World Cup by the skin of their teeth. I believe they scored a last minute goal against Russia to qualify and win their group. So they're a team who I think is, even though they're the runners up 4 years ago, they're a vulnerable team. And I think with them being a little bit older, especially on the back line, that's a team that Canada could work to their advantage. Canada's brilliant on the counterattack. They've got all that speed up front. If they can sit back a little bit, wait for their moment, they might be able to, you know, put Croatia in some trouble.
Well, it's going to break interesting for Canada because I'm actually happy the first game is against Belgium.
Me too.
Because they're going to get put into the test right away. And I mean, for Canada, if you can just walk away with that with a tie, you go to that Morocco game, get the win, that last game against Croatia is probably for that final spot.
I think so. I think Morocco is, I mean, they're no slouch. Like, don't get me wrong. No, they're no. They're consistently one of the best two or three teams in Africa year in, year out. I think that's easily the most winnable game for Canada.
Yeah.
It would be nice if they could play. Part of me kind of wishes they were playing them first to maybe get 3 points right away.
You're right.
But I mean, I know we're a little biased and I know we're thinking kind of absolutely highest potential outcome for Canada. I really do believe they could get out of this group. I feel like Belgium or Croatia, one of them will falter a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Belgium's another team. They're at the end of their golden generation. If they don't win it this time out, they're probably not going to win one for a long time right now. So Canada's going to finish third, I think, for sure in the group. I think they do beat Morocco, but it's going to be a really tough test for them to beat one of these other two teams or to at least draw them and get a point and sneak out of the group.
Canada's ahead of schedule, right? I mean,
absolutely.
We're looking at them in 2026. Oh, they get the automatic bid. Right. So they earn their way to a World Cup. In 4 years, they're going to have an automatic bid into a World Cup. And so you kind of build on everything you do in Qatar to get ready when you host this in 4 years.
Yeah, this is absolutely, this is just the dress rehearsal for them right now.
Yeah.
They're such a young team with the exception of Atiba Hutchinson.
Yeah.
They are so young right now. I know that, yeah, you've got like Atiba and Stefan Eustachio in the middle right now. They're going to have their hands full with guys like Kevin De Bruyne and Luka Modric and even Perisic. They're going to have their hands full. I'm just really happy to know that we're going to have Alphonso back. Because what we think about this last window, they didn't necessarily look that strong. They did drop two games. Obviously, that last game, they were coming off the big qualifying win against Jamaica. So I wasn't surprised to see them lose that game in Panama. But
yeah.
Alphonso is just such a wild card and you can put him anywhere on the field right now. So yeah, I think we seem to forget that this team is on another level when Davies is in the lineup. So I'm hoping they can make it through, but to get past Croatia or Belgium is going to be a real test.
It will be. And like you said, Croatia and Belgium are both having aspirations. We know how far Croatia made it last time. They made it pretty far.
Yeah.
So it's not a slouch of a squad that you got there. So we'll see what happens there. Group G, it's Brazil's world, and Neymar's just living in it and trying to finally get a World Cup for Brazil. Brazil, Serbia, the Swiss, and Cameroon. I really like this Cameroon team, I just want to say. Just watching them in the African qualifiers, really like this Cameroon team, but this is Brazil all over it.
Yeah, Brazil is, I mean, every year they kind of seem like every year they're Brazil, right? Every World Cup, you kind of have them pegged as a favorite to win it all. I do think in the last couple World Cups, I didn't really see them as a team that was going to win it. This time I'm kind of feeling a little bit different. I really think that this is their best chance to win it since the last time they did, which I believe is back 2002. So I think that they are, this is their strongest team they've had in a real long time. I'm really, really excited to see that. I've never been much of a Neymar fan. I know he loves, he rubs people the wrong way a lot. If he can knock off all of the flopping and the antics and just play football, that's going to be the best thing for them. Switzerland, they're kind of another one of those Denmarks. They are a team that is so solid up and down. They are, I mean, they're the team that beat Portugal in their group and made Portugal have to qualify through the playoffs. So they're a team that is going to cause a lot of issues for these top teams. They're going to really make them frustrated and they're really going to try to make things difficult for them. And they're another really good counterattacking team. Serbia, another team that kind of, I mean, they just kind of snuck into the World Cup as well. I mean, they're a team. I don't really know too much about Serbia's team right now. I know they're really strong in net. But other than that, I don't know what they're going to bring. I think they're going to play really tough, but I don't think they're going to bring enough to be able to get out of that group. And then you mentioned Cameroon and watching that African qualifier there where they scored that last minute goal. Last second goal against Algeria to qualify. That was so exciting. They're a team that's going to come in with a lot of heart. I don't really see them getting more than one or two points. I think they might draw a couple games. But I think Switzerland and Brazil should be shoo-ins to get out of this group.
Yeah, I agree. And then we get the final group, Group H, Ronaldo and Portugal. We have Ghana, Uruguay, and South Korea.
Well, this is, again, probably the last World Cup for another superstar. Cristiano Ronaldo's got to be on his last one here.
Definitely a turning point for star power, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like with Messi and Ronaldo and Modric kind of playing their last ones.
You know what? It could be Harry's last. I don't know.
I think it could be Harry Kane's last one for sure. Yeah. And then you've got, your Kylian Mbappe's and your Alphonso Davies. And you've got players like that who are looking to be the new guard of FIFA. Yeah. So. But this is probably the best team that has surrounded Ronaldo in a long time. He's not the only attacking option really anymore. They've got Bruno Fernandes, they've got Diogo Jota. They are a really strong team up front. And something that the big difference between Portugal and Argentina and Messi Ronaldo is that I think over the past couple years, Ronaldo and Portugal have kind of realized that the superstar is more beneficial to his team as someone who maybe plays into other players and sets other players up. He opens up space for everyone else. He seems to make life easier for the other strikers and gives them better opportunities to score. He's more of a playmaker at this point in his career, whereas Argentina's like, feed the ball to Leo and let him do it all. I think Portugal is going to dominate this group. I think they're going to go 3-3. I kind of think they're going to go nine points. They're going to get out of this group very handily. Uruguay, they're another one of those teams that are kind of in a transitional period right now. They don't really have the Luis Suarez and Cavani's of their primes anymore right now. So I think they're one of those teams that, as a Canadian fan, I was kind of hoping we would get from pot two.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping Canada would be in this group. I know you have to face Portugal, but like the rest of the competition is feasible.
Yeah, Ghana's a team that really kind of just got, I don't want to say lucky, they played a really smart game, but they should not have beaten Nigeria and made it to the World Cup. Nigerian fans were, they were fuming mad. They were throwing stuff down the tunnel there on the field after they lost to Ghana.
Yeah, because, I'm surprised not to see Nigeria here. It's very weird.
Yeah, I think Nigeria. I think they were the top ranked African side in the world and they didn't make it. They lost to Ghana and no one saw that coming. I think Ghana is going to be happy to be here. This might be my upset of the tournament, but I think Korea gets the second spot in this group. I think they sneak out. I think that with Sun playing as well as he is and just the superstar power he has. And I mean, 4 years ago, they played so well as a team. They were able to completely shut down Germany for that entire game. They won 2-0. I think this is the year Korea gets out of the group. They're likely sitting at a round of 16 matchup against Brazil, which will not be fun for them. But yeah, I really like their odds of getting past Uruguay in this one.
So a few things before we get out of here. Are you surprised Canada's rank didn't jump as high as some people thought it would? Or do those losses you think kind of hurt them near the stretch there?
Yeah, those losses were everything because they dropped down to 38th after those two losses. I know if they had won that last game against Panama, they would have, I think, moved up to 32nd, or they would have stayed 33rd. Right. And they would have been in pot three.
Yeah.
But I mean, like the FIFA rankings I'd kind of mentioned before, they're a bit of a joke. They're it takes into account too long of a window right now. And teams who are at the top of the rankings don't really drop unless they go on a free fall and lose like 10 games in a row. So it doesn't really take into account the form. I think in the future, I think that teams that win their region in qualifying should get more of a boost in terms of that kind of stuff. Don't read too much into FIFA rankings. That's kind of the way I am. Yeah. Look into how teams are playing in their recent form.
Yeah.
The biggest thing for Canada is going to be how much their top players are seeing the field for their club teams over the summer, because some of their players have made big moves. Stefan Eustáquio just recently moved to Porto, which is the biggest team in Portugal right now. And he's not seeing the field at the moment. He's kind of in more of a substitute role right now. And then same with Richie Larea. He just recently moved from Toronto FC to Nottingham Forest of the English second division. And he's also on the bench at the moment. So if they want some of their top players to really perform, they're going to need to see a lot of the field. And I think John Herdman getting some friendly matchups against some high ranking opponents that maybe aren't in the World Cup over the summer is going to be huge. Just get this team together a lot, play as many games as you possibly can. Yeah. And just get that cohesion back together and make sure this team continues to stay as united as they are. And that's going to be the biggest thing for Canada.
It's going to be very interesting too. You know, you kind of mentioned the field time and just where we're going to go from. You'll start the regular season more or less, right? And then there'll be a pause, which we've not really seen in regular football in a long time.
Yeah, World Cup in November is a joke. I hate it so much. Everything about this whole Qatari World Cup is, it just reeks, and it's the dark side of football, which is, it's FIFA, and I love football so much, but FIFA just infuriates me, and the fact that Qatar is hosting this World Cup is...
That mascot commercial made me angry.
I would die for Laib, though. I mean, I will just tell you that. But, I mean, yeah, Qatar hosting this World Cup, it's got a sour taste in my mouth, and I'm going to enjoy the football, but I'm going to feel a little bit bad about the whole thing and just all the people that died building these stadiums and just everything about it. It's just going to make me feel a little bit dirty watching the World Cup, but
always does.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But then I'll get drunk and start singing "It's Coming Home" and then it'll be off the top of your head right now, who are your three favorites to win?
Oh, three favorites. Probably Brazil. Mm-hmm. It absolutely pains me to say England, but with just a World Cup quarterfinal 4 years ago with a Euro final, it just feels like this progression is there, and Southgate has got it. I mean, it feels like it. It really feels like it. I mean, as someone who doesn't like watching English football, I really begrudgingly hate how much fun they are to watch. But yeah, probably England and Brazil, which is like my nightmare final. And then, I mean, going kind of off the board,
France.
I would probably say, I mean, I want to say France, but I feel like they're going to crash out earlier than people expect right now. I would honestly say Portugal, just with the team that they've put around Ronaldo. I really like this Portuguese team right now.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, this is probably one of the more unpredictable World Cups in a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. we'll see how it all goes. Now we have, normally I'd be like, hey, we'll be back here in like 2 months and get ready to go. But now we have to wait a little bit longer to do it. And the one cool thing is Christmas season football will be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool. It's too bad that, you know, we won't see any snow in Qatar, of course. But
yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be so interesting, just the time shift of things, right? Like England's first game will be against Iran, I believe.
Iran will be their first game, yeah.
Right, and that'll be like November 21st, I think it is. When's the World Cup final?
December 18th, I believe.
Okay, so before Christmas time.
Yeah, the biggest, I think, obviously the biggest thing is going to be just the time difference. Qatar being 9 hours ahead. Not quite as bad as I think Russia was for most of it, but it's still going to be some early drinking, which is going to be quick drunken.
Yeah.
As Coach Ted Lasso said once. So I'm really, I hope the games aren't on too early in the morning. And the worst part about it is that I'm going to be back in school for third semester of BN.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be watching the games dual screening while I'm doing my work. So,
yeah. So there we go. Everyone, enjoy for whoever your team is. Thank you so much for Brett for your inaugural debut here on Fresh Take. And until next
time. Yeah, thanks for having me out.
Absolutely. Any last point that I missed out that you wanted to kind of hit on before we wrap it up here?
No, I think we covered it all today. Just, go Canada, go.
All right. Until next time, folks. Cheers. Enjoy the day, people.